You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow, and for the rest of the hour, we're going to a math party. The guest of honor is one of the most famous numbers, pi. What is pi? We went to the streets of New York to see how many people knew.
It's an essential number, or it's, there's a word for it.
It's one of the few transcendental numbers.
And you use it in the equations to find, I believe, the circumference of a circle.
But specifically, it's also a mathematical constant, which is sweet.
Well, the number is something like 3.1415927 blah, blah, blah.
3.1415926 is all I know.
It's not bad.
No, it's not terrible, but I could do better.
Well, we found someone who could do a lot better than that number outside of New York University's math building. We found someone who knew pi to 50 digits.
Pi is approximately 3.1415926535897932384626432383279502884197169319379937510. That was 50.
It's amazing how smart those New Yorkers are, even when you just grab them on the street. Well, they were outside of a math building. If you'd like to see some more of those street smart folks, those interviews, you can watch them on a video. We put them together on a video on the NPR.org site. Just go over to NPR.org and click on the pi symbol there, and you can watch a compilation of these answers. As one person did point out, pi is the number you get when you divide the circumference of a circle by its diameter, and it is approximately 3.14. So March 14th, 3/14 is today is Pi Day. At least that's what the folks at San Francisco's Exploratorium decided when they celebrated the first Pi Day at the museum 20 years ago. They celebrated with what? You guessed it. Pies. Joining us now with a preview of this afternoon's events at the Exploratorium, which I understand it will again include pies, is Ron Hipschman, a physicist and staff scientist at the Exploratorium. He joins us today. Happy Pi Day.
Happy Pi Day, Ira.
What are you doing to celebrate?
Oh, we have so many things going on here at the Exploratorium. We have Pi Day puzzles. We have our usual Pi procession at 1:30, culminating at 1:59, 3.14159, where we have a Pi shrine on the top of our circular classroom. We process around it 3.14 times while we sing happy birthday to Albert Einstein, by the way. It's Albert Einstein's birthday today, so we kind of combine the holidays together. We, of course, serve pi. We're having some pi lectures about why pi in the virtual world, because we have a whole pi day set up in Second Life. And we also have a world champion pizza pie dough tossing, Tony Gemignani, who has a pizzeria over near us here in Castro Valley. We're doing all kinds of things here, spin art.
Huh. How did this whole thing get started?
Well, it kind of got started by one of our staff members, Larry Shaw, who we now refer to as the Prince of Pi. He just noticed that March 14th was an appropriate day to have a little staff get-together. And so it started that way, as a little staff get-together. We all brought pies in, and it kind of got out of hand from there.
Are any pies flying at all?
There are pies flying today. Yes, we have our own Mo, Curly, and Larry here today. And we will do some pie tossing as well.
Pie in the sky, so to
yep.
speak. Let's talk a little math about pi itself. Pi is what you get when you divide the circumference of a circle by its diameter.
That's right.
And no matter what size the circle is, you always get the same number.
Whatever the circle is, if you're measuring the diameter of an atom or the diameter of the universe, does not make a difference. You're going to come out with the same number.
Now, the Exploratorium is very famous for the demonstrations it does all the time. Can you give us a little demonstration we could try at home to figure out how what pi is?
Well, one thing we do, it's really easy to do, is find a round object, a can or a bucket or something like that. And if you stretch a string around that object and so that it's fairly tight, and then you cut it just so that you just have exactly one circumference around, and now you can stretch the string across the diameter of the bucket, you'll be able to do that 1, 2, 3, and a little bit more. So 3.14 times, but the idea is just a little bit more. We don't get too precise about that. Mm.
Now, we had a completely random citizen of New York City give us pi to 50 decimal places. How many decimal places has it been taken so far? Do you know?
Well, pi has been computed to over 1 trillion digits.
Wow.
1.2 trillion digits, and that was done in 2002 by Yasumasa Kanada in Japan.
Wow. 1-800-989-8255. Lorna in Palisade, Colorado has a question. Hi, Lorna.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering how they know that it's a non-rational number. How do they know that there's not an end to it?
It's not a number that you can get by dividing two integers. That makes it irrational. And further than that, there's no way that you can get pi by any combination of operations, addition, subtraction, multiplications, or square roots.
Ah.
So that makes it not just irrational, but transcendental. It sounds very mystic almost, doesn't it? And that was proven quite a while ago, actually. It was proven in 1882.
Wow.
Thanks, Lorna. Good
Thank
question.
You.
But people have been noticing pi for many, many centuries before that, right?
Oh, yeah.
How far back do we know about pi?
I think we know, well, as far as I've been able to read about it, we know about it as far back as about 1900 BC. It was undoubtedly known before then. Circles are very important. You see fine circles everywhere. When you look up in the sky and you see the moon and the sun, and they're easy to make with just a string or a rope. You can just draw a circle very easily on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And the Babylonians knew about it in 1900 BC, and their value for pi was about 3 1/8.
Huh. Chuck in Tucson, welcome to Science Friday.
Hey, welcome. Thank you. It's nice to be here. I was just listening to your show. I love your show. And I heard the gentleman say that today is Albert Einstein's birthday, and I just find it kind of mind-blowing that he is so associated with the number pi. And that his birthday is 314. How did then? What a major cosmic connection that is, you know.
Yeah, well, it is. You know, you did say that it was kind of spooky, this number.
We just think it's just wonderfully coincidental because, of course, we love celebrating parties here, and it's so nice to be able to combine them into two. I've combined in one day, really.
Yeah. Do you have a contest about people who knows the most digits?
We haven't done that. We had a school come in last year, and the students there they did a contest memorizing digits, and they got out to a couple hundred, which was really impressive. It's not easy to do. There's a whole kind of a study built around that called pi philology, which is sort of the combination of pi and philology, the study of words, and you try to make up mnemonics to help you remember the digits. So, for instance, the first word would have three digits. The second word would have one digit. The third word would have four letters. So 3-1-4-1-5-9 would be the number of letters in each word. So something simple like, here, you ready for this? How I need a drink, alcoholic in nature, after the heavy lectures involving quantum mechanics. And that helps you memorize quite a few digits of pi.
Huh.
Those are actually called pi-ems.
Pi-ems.
You know, poems, yeah.
You've also got pi-limericks, right?
Pi-limericks, yeah.
Give us a pi-limerick.
One
that we can use on the radio.
Okay, let me see. One of my favorites. If inside a circle a line hits the center and goes spine to spine, and the line's length is d, the circumference will be d times 3.14159.
Very well done. You have another one?
Let's see. Now there is an ancient Greek letter, and I think no other is better. It isn't too tall. It might look very small, but its digits, they go on forever.
Very nice. Now I understand there are also a pi haiku.
Yeah, paiku.
Paiku.
They tend to be a little simpler, of course. A paiku meaning what, 7, 15, the right number of syllables. So let's try one real quick one. A circumference. Divide by diameter, irrational pi. That was done by Paul Doherty here at the Exploratorium.
Very nice. And also, there's even pi music. What's that?
Pi music? Well, we have a composer here, as my professor of electronic music at San Francisco State University, Herb Beulah. He actually composed a piece of music using the digits of pi to come up with the actual notes of his piece of music. It tends to be a little random. because the digits of pi tend to be a little random, but it's interesting nonetheless. Mm-hmm. I don't have a sample of that for you.
All right, let's go to the phones to Mary in Iowa. Hi, Mary. Mary, are you there? Mary, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead.
Hi, my daughter, she's at their school today. They were having a big party, too, as I know a lot of other schools are, it sounds like. The one thing she couldn't answer for me is who uses pi? And then we did, when we looked up stuff online, we found that the Egyptians used it to build the pyramids, and I was wondering how they used that to build the pyramids. So that was my question.
That's a good question.
It's a great question. I can't tell you. I don't know. But we know that the Egyptians knew the value of pi to about 3.16. But I'm not sure how it was actually involved in the building of the pyramids, because they're pretty square.
Well, who uses it in occupations? I mean, is it used in different occupations?
Any time where there is something where you have to calculate anything that has to do with a circle, a cylinder, a sphere, pi always shows up. It shows up in statistics. It shows up in a lot of places.
Yeah, you know, you could try. You could think about it at home if you wanted to figure out how, when you cut something in half, how big it would be. Or you could just take the circumference of it, right? Mm-hmm. And then figure out what that cut is going to be through the middle of your sphere or something.
Thank you. I don't know if I'll use it. I remember using it in high school, but I haven't used it since.
Okay.
But we'll find
something for you, because I got Michael in Dayton who uses it all the time.
Hello.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, thanks.
How do you use pi?
Well, I'm a carpenter, so now and then I need to know the diameter, area, circumference of a circle. So since I can't always remember that it's 3.14159, I can remember that it's 22 divided by 7. Isn't that right?
22 divided by 7 is a good approximation of pi, yeah.
That's pretty good for a carpenter. I mean, we're beyond the pencil line thickness at that point, aren't we?
Absolutely. 22 divided by 7 is 3.1428, so it's really close. You know, it's
okay.
Down there in the sub-1% error range, so you're really, really close there.
So for practical purposes, that's a good way for the ordinary Joe or Jane to figure out their circles.
It's plenty accurate.
Or Michael. We're talking about pi this hour and Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. Michael, can stay on for a second as a carpenter. Can you give me one instance where you might use it, a real example?
Laying out circular patterns for concrete, if you're making an arc right there. If you're laying out radiuses on countertops, you might need it in that situation as well.
That's terrific. Yeah, so yeah, that's you want to know when, in one circumstance, what the circumference is from a radius you might draw?
Right, and you need to find areas. If you're pouring concrete in a circle, you certainly need to know your cubic concrete footage, so pi will get you there.
Got to know that pi r squared, huh?
Yes.
Well, I think that answers our last caller's question. Thanks, Michael, for answering.
Okay, so 22 divided by 7 will get us there.
That's a great approximation. Actually, there's, you know, all those digits that they've computed of pi, the over trillion digits, it's really more of an exercise for computers than it is useful as a number. If you took 39 digits of pi, just 39, not a trillion, but 39, you could measure the circumference of the universe to the accuracy of the size of a hydrogen atom with 39 digits. So
wow.
1.2 trillion, probably not too useful.
Wow. I know that it's even Pi Day in the virtual world. You were talking about the museum and Second Life. We have our avatars in Science Friday, Second Life. Maybe we can have them waddle over to the exploratorium. You're close by to us.
Yeah, we're really nearby. Our exploratorium island is really near Science Friday's island.
And what would they see there?
We have, we're not too serious about things here, but you could, the exploratorium's island, we have the Pieta, famous sculpture by Michelangelo, except our Virgin Mary is not holding her poor son. Ours is holding a pie, of course. We have a Pi-henge. You notice how Stonehenge kind of looks like a bunch of pies set around in a circle? Well, we just made it complete. We have a million digits of pi that you can walk up and view, or maybe it's 100,000, I don't remember. We have lots of things. We have pie tosser, catapults, and all kinds of fun stuff over in the on the island.
Well, if you're in Second Life and Science Friday Island, or you want to visit both, you can go back and forth. Let me see if I can ask you to tell us. Do you plan for this a year in advance? It must take a while for you to do something at the Exploratorium like this.
Well, at the Exploratorium, we usually take like 3.14 days to plan it. But no, actually, it's a lot more harder than that. We use the previous years for planning the next years. Yeah, we kind of play around and find out what works and what doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you always look for new ways to celebrate? Are you looking for people to send you suggestions?
Always.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can send it to me at the Exploratorium. I'm the webmaster at the Exploratorium, so they can find my email address there.
Mm-hmm.
They can just send it to webmaster@exploratorium.edu, and that'll get to me.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the more and various ways you could find of celebrating pi, the happier you are.
Oh, absolutely.
Because how many pies, real pies, do you have going at that museum today, do you think?
I brought in 60 pies this morning. From our local Marie Callender's, and we have a bunch of other pies that other Exploratorium folk have brought in because it's kind of a tradition that we bring in pie.
Is there a traditional pie flavor?
There is no traditional pie flavor. We any and all pies are good for us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just coming into Second Life now and sitting down next to you. I forgot to do that, so. There we go.
Good to see you. And may I wish you a happy and healthy Pi Day.
Happy and healthy Pi Day to you.
And Ron Hipschman is a physicist and staff scientist at the Exploratorium. And as he said, if you want something else to celebrate today with Pi Day, March 14th, it's Albert Einstein's birthday, 100, if I calculate it right, 129 years old. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
My pleasure, Ira. We love your program.
Thank you. Greg Smith composed a few music. 1415, and 926, we have today, help today from NPR librarian Kim Oleski. Surf over to our website at Science Friday and check out everything that we have going for you there. We'll go out with this music. Have a happy Pi Day. Have a great weekend. I'm Ira Flatto in New York. 5820974944592307816406282608.